The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the 12 apostles, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above his master. It's enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing is secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them will fall to the earth apart from your Father? And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, St. Andrews. Wow, the changes that have you've experienced since I was last with you in January are certainly impressive. You have a splendid new rector and a nasty new virus. I hear you're doing well on both counts. Congratulations. Years ago, when a parishioner learned that my family and I had spent our vacation in Grand Teton National Park and that I had scaled some of its awesome escarpments, he asked when we got back, "Do you know why people who climb mountains rope themselves together?" And suspecting he was laying a trap for me, I ventured right in and said, "No, Jim, why do they do that?" And he said, "To keep the smart ones from going home." A friend and I had pioneered a new route on the south face of Mount St. John's, right near the Grand Teton. And halfway up, a spectacular view of the Grand appeared. And trusting the rope and the belayer, I leaned out from the granite wall to snap a picture of the Grand Teton. And as I did that, my foot slipped and I fell. Happily, the belayer and the rope held. But in just a flash, I had exchanged the beauty of that mountain for the horror of the rocks hundreds of feet below. The only injury was to my pride. Well, we all lose our footing from time to time. We've all been hurt by others. Life is dangerous. and sometimes very unfair. An innocent child is killed. A deadly illness strikes. A war breaks out. How do we respond to those things? We can't control the facts, but we can control how we respond to them. Now, I don't want to suggest that any of you has ever lost your footing or slipped up, but if you did, what would you do? As we heard in today's first lesson, the prophet Jeremiah lost his footing. He so sympathized and related to the suffering of his people that God tapped him to be his spokesman to correct their selfishness. But when he tried, they responded with ridicule and derision. And that's precisely when he lost his footing. And he blamed God for trying to deceive him. Only later did he realize that his rope held. God had never abandoned him. And as we heard in today's gospel, Jesus, born 600 years later, had just called 12 apostles or disciples to expand his ministry. He said that God loves them so much that even the hairs of the head are numbered. Well, some of us make that a little easier. He said that God loves them so much, well, that when Jesus said, "What I tell you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaimed from the housetops." A roofer we hired took that quite literally one time. And he put a boom box on the roof, tuned it to a gospel station at full blast, and let it play all day long. Later, he apologized. He said, "Guess that wasn't so loving for you or your neighbors, was it?" No, that's true. Nor was it likely to make any new friends for Christ. But he was right in one particular. It is up to us who share the good news. And that includes the rope of God's love that protects us all if we fall. Jesus calls us to make the gospel known to our generation. He entrusts us with his mission. He calls everyone who follows him, including you and me, to go and do likewise. We're here today because other people shared their faith with us. Now, it's our turn. So, how does faith help us if our footing should fail? Faith is no guarantee against trouble, but it is a guarantee against defeat. Character is superior to circumstance. So here are three thoughts about what to do if our footing fails. First, swallow pride. It causes all sorts of trouble. Before we can overcome any crisis, something has to happen inside us to help us restrain our pride. In these days of stunning scientific achievements, it's easy to think that human wisdom can handle every trouble. But that's the very essence of pride, because it puts humans in the place of God. Yes, we know more about the world today than ever, but we're also closer than ever to catastrophe and destruction from a sudden nuclear strike or a gradual change in the climate. When my foot slipped on Mount St. John's, I could not save myself. I needed help. I had to trust the rope and my belayer. My fall was a blow to my pride, but that helped me face the fact that I can't always help myself when I'm in trouble, especially not if I abandon the rope of Christ's love. False pride urges me to untie the rope, but then I always slip off the perch of good intentions. Second, confess sin. Sin is the refusal to respond to God. Indifference to God is the same as willful rejection. And pride denies sin when we need to face the truth about our own part in losing our footing. Not finding and confessing our faults dooms us to repeat them. Pride can keep us from accepting God's redeeming love. But when we confess our sins honestly, even in the midst of trouble, Christ can teach us, but only if we want to learn from our failed footing. In the midst of whatever troubles we face, Christ's rope of love is always ready to rescue us. So don't untie the rope that saves us if we slip or lose footing. Swinging out over the abyss is scary, I can attest to that, but it's far better than falling. Third, thank God. Remember that Christ loves you in all that you do and say and are. God could have rained down instructions on us from a distant star, or made us like robots without a will of our own. Instead of St. John, as St. John puts it, God became flesh and dwelt among us. He experienced our longing and our limitations to show us on our human level how best to live. Thank God. Easter tells us that Christ's love for you and me never falters, never fails, never will. Faith in Christ becomes a rope of his love that saves us from disaster. Thank God. Swallow pride, confess sin, thank God. Those three are the beginning of wisdom. Sharing Christ's love is our way of saying thank you for God's unfailing love. So whether you face personal troubles or larger danger of the cosmos, know that God's love is with you and remains with you always. The rope of Christ's love is always available to rescue us and bind us to him. Comfort in distress comes from faith in Christ. It's not a comfort that exempts us from faulty footing, but it's always available in the midst of pain, anxiety, trouble, disappointment, even COVID-19. So rejoice in Christ's love and shout it from the housetops. Thank God that the rope of love can bind us to God's glory if we permit it. Amen.